Welcome to Tesla's Temple to Tech with your host, Mark Alessi. Tune in every Sunday morning from 8:45 to 9 a.m. on 1100 WHLI to learn more about innovation on Long Island through the amazing vision of the Tesla Science Center at Wardenclyffe.
Hi, this is Mark Alessi. I'm the Executive Director for the Tesla Science Center at Wardenclyffe in Shoreham, New York. Welcome to our podcast. I'm joined here today by Lisa Mirabelli from Vertigo Media.
Hi, Mark. How are you today?
I'm doing great. We had an amazing Tesla birthday party. The last time we were together, our last podcast, we were talking about the Tesla Birthday Expo, which was on July 13th. And we had the largest Tesla coil in the world. We didn't know that we were getting that Tesla coil when we cut that podcast. But Greg Lay, who is from Lightning on Demand, he works at Google X. He's out of Stanford University. I met him on the West Coast. We go to the West Coast often in Silicon Valley with exhibits and such because those are part of the crowd that really want to resurrect Tesla's lab here in New York. So Greg, I met him through the Exploratorium, which is one of the best science centers in the world. We wanted to do something with the Tesla coil, and we reached out to our friends at the Exploratorium, being we were doing an exhibit about 20 miles away from them in Oakland. And they said, anybody doing anything with 5,000 volts of electricity or more, you got to call Greg Lay. And he was amazing. He has this huge airport hangar in an industrial park in Alameda, where he does some of his Google X experiments, but he also does some of his Lightning on Demand. This is a Tesla of today. He is studying the inception of lightning, how lightning starts. We understand what happens after it starts. Nobody really completely understands how lightning spontaneously is created. And so he's studying the inception of lightning using Tesla coils and some of Tesla's materials.
Okay, so wait. Let me understand this. He has a four-story Tesla?
40-foot Tesla coil.
40-foot Tesla coil.
Which is the largest in the world right now, which he thinks is shameful. Because Tesla's Tesla coil, the tower that was in Shoreham, Wardenclyffe at the time, was 187 feet high.
Wow, that is mind-boggling. Right. Mind-boggling.
But Greg says that if he can get the funding to build two 120-foot Tesla coils and put them 80 meters apart, number one, it's going to accelerate his research into lightning. But number two, he's going to be able to potentially prove or disprove what Tesla was going to be able to accomplish with his wireless transmission of electricity and communications.
I would love to see that happen. Now you had this actual coil at the Tesla Science Center for the birthday party. So he came all the way from Alameda, California.
Yeah.
Drove across country in five days through torrential downpours.
Oh my gosh. What an event that must have been. He offered to bring the coil in the past. We had to try to find a sponsor because to get it shipped here without him having to drive the 5 days, it was like $10,000 or $15,000.
Oh my gosh.
And you know, you gotta understand that was basically our entire budget. We're not open for operations yet. We open to the public once or twice a year, the birthday party, a holiday celebration, maybe one or two outside tours. And we don't spend a lot of money because our focus is opening the lab as a museum. And that is our primary focus. But we understand two things. Number one, we owe some programming to the crowd. And this place was saved by 33,000 contributors around the world. If they want to get on property every once in a while, we're going to let them in a structured way. But number two, when we do have some operations like our birthday party or our exhibit out in Oakland, what it does is it attracts people that might not know about this project, that might want to contribute to this project, whether it's, you know, their brain power or their financial resources. And so it's important that we have a heartbeat and that we have these operations and these events. And but we didn't have the money for the $10,000 or $15,000. We put it out to some sponsors. They rather sponsor the whole event. And then he surprised us a week and a half before. He's
wow.
Like, I'm driving out there.
Unbelievable.
And I'll tell you this.
Unbelievable.
You were part of a decision, and I appreciate how much our staff has matured and working with you, just the synergy there too. But we knew we had it a week and a half before. We were advertising it. By the way, our crowd has, for the event, has more than doubled in the past 3 years. So it used to be 300-400 people when I first started 2.5 years ago. We were at 1,200 people.
That's amazing.
This year. And that was for the day event.
Yeah. I couldn't even believe, just driving through the parking lot, the amount of people that were coming with their kids. They were coming not only to see, you know, the coil, but actually to be on the ground where Nikola Tesla had his last lab. That was really a passion for so many people. You can hear them as they were signing in, because everyone had to sign in to walk through. And I would ask the question, you know, how did you find out about us? Or why are you here? And the one thing that was consistent over and over again, they were coming to see the lab. So
it's hallowed ground.
It really is.
For all of us. But, you know, for the most part, you know, we don't take it for granted. There's times where you drive onto site, even though you're going there almost every day, and you're like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, it really
this
is
amazing. This World Historic Site, so much has happened here. This man has changed our lives, and we have the opportunity to come here every day and move the ball forward to open a museum to celebrate his life. I just gave a talk just before we came here today to some financial advisors who would advise their clients on philanthropy. So one of our consultants, Cindy Morris from the Benson Agency, who's worked with us on governance issues for not-for-profits and just really helped restructure us and make us a more functional organization. She had invited us and a number of her other clients to speak to these financial advisors. And it was the first time I said this, but why is this important nationally and internationally? And why do people locally care? And Nikola Tesla was the epitome of the highest form of function for humanity in terms of it was the pinnacle of human achievement. And part of that was because he's a super genius, but we have an opportunity to celebrate that. And then we have an opportunity to try to help replicate that with a museum and science center that inspires kids today to be curious and then to invent. You know, not everybody's going to become an inventor, not everybody's going to become a scientist or engineer, but if they're introduced to it, some might be pushed into that field, and that's great. Or they'll understand it, they'll appreciate it, and they'll find other ways. I'm not a scientist or engineer. I've commercialized many high technologies. I'm a lawyer. I'm a business person. But I understand innovation, and I understand the market applicability of it. And so that's something that this place can accomplish.
You know what, and I don't want to sound like a broken record, but every time I go to the Tesla Science Center, I am amazed at the footprint of Nikola Tesla. I always learn something new. I always learn about a new invention that he was somehow, his patent, somehow, some way affected. I had no idea about X-ray technology and MRI technology stemming from Nikola Tesla, actually until the birthday party. When I was there and I was looking at the exhibits and there was this little kid next to me, him and I were both learning together, and I was like, isn't that so cool? And he was just as excited as I was, and I was like, this is amazing. You know, when you have those little moments and the realization of, you know, his footprint and how today's life has been affected, it's just exciting. I'm a marketer, right? So I'm in marketing. But when I go to, you know, the Tesla Science Center, I get like a little kid all over again. I get excited. I get excited about free thinking, really. Yeah. It's really about free thinking, you know, so we learn these things in school. You have these little experiments. But then when you see them in application and when you see the effects that it has and the ripple effect that it has on, you know, today's life, it's just amazing to me. So these events are very important. It's very important for the kids to see. It's very important for the adults to be part of the community. It's important for the inventors.
I completely agree. And what I think was my favorite event since all of my time with the Tesla Science Center was the night event. So 2 or 3 days before the actual birthday expo, the staff comes to me, Lisa across the table from me right now, as part of that extended staff, as one of our consultants, and said, we're going to do a night event. You know, you can't really appreciate a 40-foot Tesla coil unless you're seeing the lightning shoot out of it. And I agreed, but I was like, how in the world are we going to pull off a night event 2 days before? I don't get it. We haven't advertised it. Who's going to come? How much is it going to cost? Where are we getting volunteers? Every single volunteer that was working during the day that was approached a few days before said, yeah, I'm in. And that just shows the commitment of the people that are volunteering for the Tesla Science Center. And in the end, we sold hundreds of tickets. which helped us not lose money. Actually, put a little bit of money in the bank to rehab the lab. And people have to understand that. And I made that a big part of the mantra at the birthday expo.
Rehab the lab.
Rehab the lab. So we saved the
lab. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
We saved the lab. And that was what the first crowdfund was for. But a lot of people were like, hey, you raised $1.2 million. Where's the museum? And it's like, do you realize that on a 16-acre Superfund site with multiple buildings that have to come down and a historic building of 10,000 square feet that has to get restored, $1.2 million is not enough. It's a $20 million project. We raised $7 million. $2 million has been spent to buy the property and rehab it to this point.
Right.
But to rehab the lab, it's another $15 million in addition to the $5 million we have. And so every dollar counts for us. And this birthday party raised some money for us. The night event raised some money for us. And it helps us, you know, move forward with our capital campaign. So it was just such a great event. But that nighttime event was the first time we've had a nighttime event. We had Jason Hagajulo. It's a very hard last name. He won't get mad at me. From Ages Events. He does like the lighting and the music for the Jets. Like, he's a huge professional. He lives in Shoreham. He's like, I want to do your events. And he does them basically at cost for us. And he's taken us from a local community group, letting people on the grounds, to this huge event with lighting and music, snow machines during our holiday events. And but to walk the grounds at night basically it was like a light carpet that you were walking through. It wasn't
it
a red
really
carpet.
Was.
It was a light carpet.
It really was. We
a carpet
the light
of light
projection.
Which was better than, what better for a Tesla event? But you walk through that carpet of light to the 40-foot tower. And as I walked in, you know, when you have 300 people on the site, when you first get to the site, it's not a drop in the bucket, like in terms of the parking lot. But when you get to that tower base and there's 300 Tesla enthusiasts with lawn chairs waiting for a 40-foot Tesla coil to light up, the electric was there even before the electric turned on.
That's right. It was so cool. It was so cool. Not only that, but the crowds of people that were standing around
outside
center was amazing. I couldn't believe all the way to the street. There were at least six people
huge
deep.
Community
a huge community event.
Lisa,
I was super excited about that.
I walk up to introduce Greg Lay, and I catch out of the corner of my eye a crowd of people outside of our gates who are basically, you know, getting a free show, which is fine. We really do this for the community, for the folks that were on the grounds. They had refreshments and it was an event, and they got to meet Greg Lay. But there were folks that caught a glimpse off the grounds, and at least they also catch a glimpse of what this place is going to mean for our community and our region. It's such a huge asset for us. But so I look over my shoulder as I'm speaking, and I surprisingly, in my remarks, I'm like, oh, wait a second. We have like 100 people outside the gates. This is awesome. Let's say hello. And then I hear a roar behind me because we're a corner property. And I look behind me at the other gates. There's like another 100 or 200 people. And Lisa didn't mention this, but her and our COO, Doug Borge, they go outside and they pass a hat. And everybody around those gates gave a dollar, which
was
awesome.
It was awesome. They were so excited to, you know, be able to be a part of it. And I think to see that night Tesla coil, to understand what was happening here on the property so many years ago, was really a thrill for everyone.
I do want to say, like, yes, I love Tesla coils. I mean, basically we were creating lightning and blowing things up, but that's not what Tesla was trying to do.
No,
so
it was not.
When the Tesla tower or coil is operating appropriately for what he was trying to do, you're not seeing lightning. There's just a low-level electric force that first surrounds that coil and can electrify. And that's what was part of the program. You saw electric cars moving based on just energy that was around. You saw basically this electric field lighting up lights and things like that. The larger question is, could Tesla have transmitted this electric through the ionosphere or through the Zenic wave of the Earth? And there's a lot of debate. And I think that's something that Greg Lay, as we open, part of our mission is to help get the funding for researchers like Greg Lay to do the cutting-edge research along the lines of what Tesla was doing. Let's answer those questions.
So, in short, I just want to come back. Tesla was actually building tunnels underneath the tower that was supposed to harness the Earth's ionic. What were you saying? Let's talk in layman's terms for people that are not.
I've heard that in his own words that he was trying to get a grip on the Earth. And so it was like a grounding system, and he was going to be sending electric both through the earth and up into the atmosphere through the ionosphere, even though he didn't know what it was called at the time. He just knew it would be easier to send things through that cavernous space. So we'll talk next time about the Tesla
Tower.
Well,
thanks so much, Mark. It's always so enlightening.
Thank you.
Tune in next time for our Tesla Tower radio show.
Tesla's Temple to Tech airs Sunday mornings at 8:45 right here on 1100 WHLI. Or go to WHLI.com/Tesla for podcast library.